All right, guys, thank you for checking in today. We're continuing the series in the book of Acts. We're in the middle of chapter 17 right now, and we're in Paul's second missionary journey. He is in the region of Macedonia, which has the cities of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. These are his three main stops in Macedonia, and we've looked at Philippi and Thessalonica already, so today we're in Berea. This is chapter 17, book of Acts, verses 10 through 15. Only five verses, but it's remarkable what happens here. Let me read it. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. So he starts in Berea, he ends in Athens, Greece. So look at this. He gets to Berea. The people of Thessalonica had run him out, the Jews in particular, and it's the Jewish leadership. The same way you see this often. The Bible just says the Jews, but it's very clearly referring to Jewish authorities. The common folk of Israel and Jews around the world tend to accept the gospel. It's the elites, it's the leadership that get jealous and angry and stuff. Paul himself was part of that problem at one point, and he is humbled and comes to Jesus, which we've looked at, obviously. So in Thessalonica, these guys, they run him out of town. Then they find out he's in Berea, and they run him out of that town too. But it says the Berean Jews are more noble. They listen and they examine the scriptures daily, it says, to make sure these things are so. That's what it says. So I love that. This little town, it's barely mentioned in the Bible. It's just right here. That's it. He doesn't write a letter to the people of Berea. He writes two of them to Thessalonica next door. He writes one to Philippi down the road a little farther. He writes two to Corinth, where he's going to wind up before long. He doesn't write any to Berea. I guess he doesn't have to. They're already spiritually like humble and mature, okay? They're more noble than the ones in Thessalonica. They received the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, and not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. All right? Man, they examine the scriptures daily eagerly. He doesn't tell them, hey guys, you really need to read your Bible. Come on, read your Bible. Read your Bible, guys. Did you read your Bible today? You got to read your Bible. He doesn't do that. Man, I feel like every sermon I say that. Maybe I don't need to. I'm not saying that I have to or do have to or don't have to, but I say it constantly. I say it because it's true, because we need to be in our Bibles. The Bereans are noble. They're more noble than the Thessalonians, at least. And they're eagerly examining the scriptures daily. Like, they're looking it up. Paul, he's the guy, kind of guy who quotes scripture off the top of his head all the time. Like, that's just who he is. You've met people like this, that they just speak scripture. They know it so well, it's always on the tip of their tongue. They don't even say, I'm going to quote some scripture now. It just comes out their mouth. You know what I'm talking about, right? Maybe you know, if you don't know what scripture, you might not know that's what they're quoting. But anyway, these guys, they look him up. They're like, yeah, let's make sure that this Paul, he is teaching something new. We didn't know about this Jesus guy and the Messiah, the Jewish Savior. Like, we better double check this. This isn't just another cool Sunday school class, Sabbath school class teaching about Moses. This is a new teaching. We better look it up. And they do. And they eagerly look it up. They're hungry for it. They're noble. noble is kind of an old-fashioned word, right? Did you ever meet anybody who talks about being noble and nobility and stuff, whatever? But wouldn't don't you want to be noble? Noble, respectable, someone that behaves and conducts yourself well. When people look up to you, you have good reputation, they follow your example. They're noble. What makes them noble? What is the defining characteristic of them being noble? They receive the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's what the Bible says makes them noble. All right? Some translations might say righteous right there. Either way, same difference, right? They're looking up the scriptures daily, eagerly, to see if these things are so. They're like, I want this to be true. I'm eager for this to be true. Man, this is such good news. If this is true, wow, this is exciting. Let's just make sure. You know, I don't want to be wrong. Let's look it up. They look it up, right? Eagerly, daily. Do you read your Bible every day? Do you eagerly read your Bible every day? Or do you feel obliged to read it every day? Man, some days I feel obligated. I feel obliged. I believe in reading it every day, so I do. I call it a spiritual discipline. Discipline isn't always fun. It's not something I'm always eager about, but I'm going to do it every day because I believe that this is God's word, and I believe it will radically transform and renew me and make me more like Christ. Like, I believe that, so I do it. I don't always eagerly do it, though. I'll admit this, okay? I'm not proud of it, but whatever. Some days I do it because I'm supposed to do it. I do it because I believe it's the right thing to do. And man, do it because it's the right thing to do. That's a fine reason to do something. It's a great, great reason. And it's even better when you're eager to do it. So I believe in do it no matter what, because it's the right thing. And pray and say, Lord, help me to do this eagerly. Give me a kind of joy in this. And he does. I mean, it's something, I'm not saying it's a drudge every day. I know some people really, reading is not your favorite thing anyway. Reading the Bible can be complex, can be hard. I get it. But remember, don't read it because you're supposed to read it. Read it because it's God's word. And read it until you love it. Read it until you're eager about it. And keep praying to God. God, forgive me for not being eager. If this is eternal life, if not the book itself, eternal life is in Christ Jesus, right? How do we know that? Because the book says that. So if these are God's words, which I believe they are, it's abundantly obvious that they are. If that's true, why aren't we eager to read it? Like, yeah, I know this is God's eternal word. I know that he's loving and all-powerful and he died for my sins. I know all that stuff. But I really just want to read my Facebook feed today and maybe check the news and, you know, watch some TV, go out, sit on the porch and shoot the breeze with somebody. That's what I want to do. I know I have God's word. I know Jesus is in here. My words are life. I know all that stuff, but I have other stuff to do today. Man, why is it so hard to be eager to be in the Bible? Why is that? I think that we have a sinful part of our minds, a part of our lives that always wants to prioritize something that I like for this life as opposed to something eternal. And we need to repent of that. We need to repent. We are not all Bereans. Berea is rare. Man, read Acts. We're partway through it, getting towards two-thirds through it. And this is the only town that they're described this way. Everybody else, well, I mean, there's always a lot of people that are eager about it, and then there's always a bunch that aren't. Most of these other towns are defined by getting run out of town. Even Berea is, but it's other people coming in chasing them out. So I think we all have a tendency. We all have this tendency to not be eager about God's word. Have a tendency. Well, if the Holy Spirit is real, if what the Bible says about him is true, then all those tendencies you've got need to be transformed and renewed. Every thought taken captive made obedient to Christ. It's possible. If the Bible's true, then that stuff can be done, will be done, and the Holy Spirit will make it happen. So let's stay in tune with him. Let's be Bereans. Let's be noble. Paul doesn't even have to write a letter to him. He's like, you guys are set. Just keep doing this, man. Eagerly in your Bible every day, you'll figure out the rest. You don't even have to write him a letter. And it's Jews and Greeks, not a few Greek women of high standing, as well as men. But then they come from Thessalonica, learn that he's teaching it, and they begin agitating and stirring up the crowds. The brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. He's like, this town is safe enough. These agitators will sooner or later go back to their own business. Silas, you stick. Timothy, you stick. We need to keep developing these people. And as I read the other epistles and through Acts, you can kind of splice things together with things he says in the book of Philippians, the things he says in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Romans, stuff like that. I get the impression that Timothy and Silas were moving around Macedonia, not just Berea, but also Thessalonica and Philippi, and reporting back. And Paul writes these letters and has correspondence with them. But he leaves them there because this is a good place to be, have a home base. It's safe, relatively safe in Berea, and you can go to these less safe places from Berea. And Paul bounces. He's off to Athens. We'll get into him here soon, tomorrow. But let's be Bereans, right? That's what we looked at yesterday in Thessalonica also. The Thessalonians have Paul teach him for 3 weeks, and then he has to leave. They chased out. 3 weeks. If you get eager about your Bible and read it every day, you can learn a lot in 3 weeks. And if you keep that habit, you can be a great, powerful spiritual leader for the rest of your life. Let's build those habits. Let's be Bereans. My friend at church here, I don't know if he wants me to talk about him or not, so he always says you need to be a Berean. Be a Berean about it. That's just a couple of verses in the Bible. That's all we know about them. There's a seminary down in Bolivia called the Berean Institute, and it's based on this as well. We're still talking about them. Like three verses in your whole Bible mention them. But don't you want to be characterized that way? Praise the Lord, guys. I'll see you tomorrow, Sunday. We do these every day, Monday through Saturday, right at noon. Sunday's my sermon is also based out of the book of Acts. It's usually kind of a mop-up, a collection of the main points that I cover during the week, and then we advance farther along and dig deeper into certain issues. So Sunday, our church is open at 8:30 in the parking lot. If you don't really come to church much or you don't really know what you're signing up for, come to our 8:30 service in the parking lot. You don't even have to get out of your car. If you're concerned about, you know, shaking hands and hugging, just stay in your car. It comes over the radio and stuff. It's a cool service. And if you want to come to our indoor one, that's at 10:30 inside at our church. But God bless you. Praise the Lord. And let's be Bereans. Let's be in our Bibles. Talk to you later.